Twitter. I brought up a TweetDeck, and you know, we just sort of searching around, see what people, other people say about X25, and there's a few other people on there that might be interesting, and just getting some, maybe doing talking to them and seeing if they're willing to do interviews too.
It's I've reached out to several people. One guy was a TimeNet engineer. I sent him a couple of messages back and forth, but it sounds like he was mostly involved with the network and hardware implementation. I was like, wow, that sounds really, you know, really interesting to me. But he's like, I really didn't do anything on the security side, but I was still like, it's still kind of cool to talk to you, actually. No, I mean,
Gail Thackerty, who's, was she TimeNet or was she, or SprintNet, or was she just Sprint security?
To be honest, I do not even remember, but it would be interesting to get somebody like that involved.
Was one of the public enemy number one to hackers, along with
right
David Foley.
No, I remember that there was like a few in those kind of and I am recording, by the way, but okay. those security jobs were I mean, like some of the first times that I'd ever heard of a company and a network like that having, you know, a security position was with TimeNet, I think, Telenet. You know, people, they were tracking down people who are using the network fraudulently.
Right.
Who weren't, you know, but that was the first time I'd ever heard of somebody doing this kind of, you know, defensive security as for a living, was on those X25 networks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But really quick, let's do this before we get too far. What I wanted to do is give kind of like basically a brief bio of yourself. You know, just this, what you tell a friend on an elevator, you know, or at DEF CON, you know.
I started my my escapades into modems and stuff like that probably around 85 or so on my it was using actually a school's modem. They had a copy of ASCII 2 Express on a Apple II. And from that, I was actually starting to hit some of my first bulletin boards. You know, with ASCII 2, it was just straight ASCII, just like text file sharing. So that's what got me into like CDC and things like that. Matter of fact, the first board I called was out of state. I was in Colorado at that time, code in 303. And that was to the convent, Lady Caroline. So the CDC was the first one that I managed to call out of state on that topic. But let's see, the earliest part, so I was on X25, we were using TimeNet, Telenet, and then became SprintNet when they got bought out. We were using PC Pursuit just to, you know, keep the bill down because of, you know, greater than, $2 or $3 a minute for long distance calling. So you had to either freak in on a code or however you wanted to do it. There's other ways of doing it, of course, but or you were using PC Pursuit from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. and 24 hours on the weekends.
When you were exposed to X25, was it primarily through PC Pursuit and Telenet? Is that the way you like learned about it?
You know, other sysops and board operators in the area, we would get together about once a month and do a swap meet, which would basically, you know, like the old, like what they have, they still do at Chaos Computer Convention, CCC, or they do these swap nets. So that everybody brings their computer in. And, you know, since everybody's only 300, 1200 baud, it would take forever for you to download. But, you know, there's people that have amassed huge, huge collections of floppy disks. And so you bring your computer down there and, you know, some people order pizza, some beer, soda, what have you. And you just start going through people's collections. you got something to trade or whatever else, or you got the blank floppies. Just bring your floppies, and that's how you would gain a collection of software.
Yeah, but I mean, so you're looking at it from like, but what year is this? Like 86 or so, 87?
96, it was, I think I was rocking at home. I was rocking, one side of the family had a Commodore, the other
Right.
side of the family had an Atari.
So you get the best of, well, you get the best of one world. I won't go which
Well,
one it was.
I mean, well, no, I mean, only people that were actually involved in business stuff had an IBM.
Right. That's actually, that's true. That's true. But I mean, so you were, I mean, so it was like basically you were with a group of people. It sounds like you guys were like trading wares is what you were doing.
Well, trading wares or just getting together. It was just like BBS, the whole communal thing of BBSs, where you would meet up and have a party. I think at the time in Denver, there's a couple of sysops that were trading back and forth. They each lived on different sides of town
Right.
and in the center, so just drive back and forth, whatever. You meet people that you talk to all the time on the bulletin board. You're limited to roughly an hour a day, but you're not going to stay on there that entire hour. Maybe 10, 15 minutes, check some mail,
Right.
move your Trade Wars characters or whatever online whatever BBS you're playing, and
Right.
then you're off and doing something else because you got other boards to hit.
No, exactly. But so, I mean, so obviously somebody comes to you because the
So
PC Pursuit was like a really big thing at the
it
time, just
was,
because it was so expensive
didn't
for
exactly do
long
a lot.
distance.
Yeah, they didn't do a lot of advertising though. I mean, there may be some magazines. The big one was the CompuServe. They did the most advertising out of all of them, and that's where there's a whole community that with involved with that. But I never, just because it was like $6 a minute, even at night, $6 an hour, whatever it was. It was outrageously expensive,
Right.
just I mean they was it Ziff Davis was giving away free accounts left and right to it. Just that's the only way that you can even remotely get a glimpse into it unless you had the budget to do that, which I didn't.
I remember, I was a young kid. I had the same kind of thing that, where the phone calls were just prohibitively too expensive. I couldn't really do very much. And a friend of mine come to me and he said, "Hey, there's this thing called PC Pursuit," and I had never heard of it before. And he explained to me kind of like how it worked and whatnot. And he said, "You pay for this. You pay this kind of like, if I remember correctly, it was like a flat fee, and then you could use these things called outdial modems."
I think it was $20.
Right. It
It
was, yeah.
was stupid.
I thought it was like 29 or something like that, which would have been still really expensive back then. But then you used outdial modems, and I got interested in that. But of course, I didn't have the $20 to spend. But then he said to me, "Well, here goes the thing. If you call this phone number,
yeah.
And his, some of his friends were using those, and then that's where like it kind of clicked for me. Like, wait, I don't understand. There's this thing I can call into. Like, I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, middle of nowhere kind of thing, and I can call this magical phone number, and I can connect to a modem, or wait, a computer system anywhere in the world.
Well,
What was the point for you that you kind of like you said, like, holy cow, this X25 stuff might be kind of interesting.
it's actually once you start using it and you're starting to use it more and more often, because you have to call in to your local dial-up, And then you have to log in. Yeah, you it says you do, you know, terminal equals D1, and then you start typing in your user identifier, which is, you know, just a numerical identifier plus a passcode. It's like comma passcode, anyways. And then you're set in, then you're logged in. Then you just, you would start for you to use the PC Pursuit side of it. You start saying like connect to Ilchi for Chicago, Illinois, or for WASCE or WASCE for Seattle.
Okay, so for like WASCE, would you actually do like C space WASCE? Would you have to enter the command on the pad?
Yeah. So once you log in, it presents like another at sign, and then that's the at sign's your prompt, and then you would. There's certain commands. You say C for connect, D for disconnect. If you need to, if you manage to break out of that session, there's a whole bunch of terminal settings that you can do to the pad. But and I didn't start messing with that immediately. I mean, once you start using the outdial system and start figuring out, then, you know, once you've kind of got, you know, you've hit all the boards, it's like, okay, well. Great. Everybody's using it to get, you have a lot of busy, you know, because you're not going to always be able to take full advantage of it because, you know, people are calling into these bulletin boards and, you know, we have like maybe one or two lines.
Right.
So in between those times, you're still sitting at a prompt and if, when you're still dialed in and that's when you start, you know, start looking around. So PC Pursuit, they also had a phones application. So you type in C phones and it'll tell you what all their dial-ups are, but it would also give more information about other mnemonics like C NASA. So you can do a X25 call to NASA's computer. And that's when you start going into the weeds or some of the non published stuff about the X25 network.
So just to back up, so I was never a PC Pursuit user. Like I never had an account on it.
No, exactly.
But so you, just so I understand, so you were basically, you were connected up. I get to kind of see this happening. So you're connected up. I didn't even know if you had to enter from PC Pursuit, if you had to enter the commands at the pad, but it sounds like you did. You would say like WASU or whatever, wherever you want to connect to, which is you're on the pad. You're doing the commands. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting there. What you're saying is basically you're sitting there and you're like, okay, I'm going to, was it that the modem was busy or was it like you connected to the modem and then tried to connect to your favorite BBS?
So it would depend on sometimes your destination outdial would be busy. I mean, not very often, but every now and then, you know, you'll say, you know, it'll give you an error statement. But if it did connect, it would say you're connected to that pad. And then you're dropped into essentially the command mode of a modem somewhere else.
Right. Where you could enter like ATDT
and then start reissuing your ATDT and so on and so forth.
Right. But then you would like connect up and be like, ah, damn, the modem's busy. So I'm just kind of like sitting at a pad prompt. And then you just like kind of start to screwing around. Let's go ahead. If I can do C space, you know, wherever, why can't I do C space something else? And by the way, I remember the phones things that you're talking about. Wasn't that a part of the Telenet telemail system. If you remember, I thought you'd do C mail and then you connect up and the username was phones and the password was phones. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It would give you like a dump of it. I remember being like a kid and like getting like this list of phone numbers. Like I figured that out and I was like, wow, this is really valuable. So I like screen, you know, like captured the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like everybody had these numbers at the time. But Okay. You just sent me a link about the PC. See, I was never a user of it, so I wanted to see. It's kind of cool that you were, and about how you shifted from being a PC Pursuit user and then going, well, what else can I do with this? And see, that's what my, I think my buddy was doing as well, as he said, you know, oh, you should sign up for PC Pursuit. And I said to him, well, I don't have the money to do it. And he's like, well, you should still call this number, you know, kind of thing, is where it kind of began for me. And I remember for my side, I remember getting out, I remember finding out, like, I do C mail, or as you said, other mnemonics that would NASA or whatever it was.
Right.
But then, for some reason I did like, one thousand two, 1003, and then finally got connected to something else. You know what I mean? And then learned later on it was more structured like the telephone system is. So if I wanted to call,
well, you know, that too. I mean, but like I said, I was already calling Hack Freak BBSs on that time, around that time. And, you know, I eventually, you know, pretty early on, I actually went on to InterChat and 201. And that's like an 8 modem chat BBS, chat board. You know, no BBS to speak of. It was just strictly chat. And, you know,
was this on X25? So, network?
Well, I was still in Denver, and InterChat was in New Jersey.
Okay.
So you know, you'd link over, you outdial over to 201, and then call them, and they had
gotcha.
So you know, you can actually kick it.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to several people who hit up various chat systems that were on X25 network. So, for instance, Hans is telling me about, Pingo was telling me about a Alto system that was run, and basically it was on an X25. It was on a Swedish or maybe French. I've heard about two of them. One of them was a French network, and basically it was somebody who had a system. It was an Alto system, and they basically wrote a chat system, and it was hosted there. So a lot of hackers were driven to it because, you know, whether you're sitting in Italy or you're sitting in, you know, Denmark or the United States or Australia, everybody could connect to this one system and chat with each other.
Yeah, you know what? Kind of,
but I didn't never did that.
I never even knew about that. I mean, The only information I knew of from about what else you can even do with packet with X25 networks was from either from FRAC or from whatever text files would people would put up, but not many people were doing it. You know, it was just and you know, when you did read about the information, you're maybe either the information was maybe a little bit old or. Yep. Or maybe you discovered it a little bit too late.
Yep. And that was typically the thing that happened with me. I would always find out about these things about a year too late. And it'd be like, oh, there's this awesome chat system over on this DNIC at this NUA. And then by the time I got there, it was like, you know, connection refused. It's like, God dang it. You know, like I was just too late. It had already been like shut down or whatever, because it'd been probably produced in FRAC or whatnot. Well, but I mean, yeah,
and yet a lot of times, you know, even if you were, I don't know too many people that were actually on that were doing X25 exploration here, and actually calling out to overseas.
Actually, and I agree with you on that. I know from the European standpoint, like so. We actually had choices between the types of networks that we could bounce between. So if we would call a TimeNet dial-up, you know, or a Telenet dial-up or whatever. Whereas in Germany and whatnot, after talking with Hans, he said we had one choice. It was, you know, DNxP. And he said, so it became very interesting to them to be able to reach out to other things. I'm kind of with you on that. I didn't do a lot of inner DNIC stuff where I would go from Telenet to, you know, some other country or whatnot.
I was just thinking, it's like me, I'm thinking, wait, going through, sifting through my head of all the times I've, tried to break out of network. And I know that I think when I really started getting into it, I was trying to, it goes kind of goes back to CompuServe again, where CompuServe, they wanted to have dial-ups everywhere, and we already didn't have dial-ups. They actually had ways of hopping from those X25 networks in whatever country on to call into CompuServe, or Delphi, or whatever online service that was out there, Prodigy, or Delphi before it became Prodigy, Dow Jones News. But yeah, so you were actually, that's when you would start playing around, when they started advertising that or making it more known. That's when I actually started trying to see how you could jump those networks. And I think I got kind of mixed results, because your PC pursuit identifier would only let you do certain things. You couldn't exactly, when you're trying to hop into someone else's pad, it's their pad, you don't necessarily have a network identifier with them, and all and you're it's the whole premise of, being, you're paying for the call to go to reach them, or versus, reverse billing of calls. I mean, I see it written, I've seen it written down, but I don't necessarily have, I've never had that, or I've never had it come back on me. But then again, that's when you start thinking, well, maybe it's just easier to freak.
No, exactly. And you shift over to another thing. No, exactly. Because then I remember, like, one of the daunting things to me was people would say, oh, what you need to do if you want to get really into this is like get access to a good level, in UI. And as you said, sometimes I was just like, well, how the hell am I going to do that? I mean, now, I mean, on the flip side of it, though, even though a lot of times we were doing things like scanning at kind of a higher level. I was never much on the TimeNet type of thing, but Telenet, I was very much. I liked doing a lot, and we used to, I'll just say, rape and pillage Telenet quite a bit. But I mean, did you like back then? I know, like, whenever we met, you were already big into scanning and doing stuff like that on networks. Were you scanning X25 networks around, this is, say, 87 to 95 or something like that? Were you?
Back then, I think, I would dabble with it, but mostly, if I was actually scanning something, it was actually for out the, or for 950 codes, because because that's really that's you got to feed the monkey, and that's the most versatile way of calling out, if you weren't tapping into your local gray post outside.
No, I got you. I got you. So from X25's network, you weren't like actually doing a ton of scanning at that point in time. Like, you found it like mildly interesting. You would jump on it every now and then, but you were more interested in getting the free phone calls to get
Well,
out to.
yes and no. I mean, it's, so I think, when did they shut down TimeNet and Telenet?
Good God. It was like, well, remember we did that talk in, was it 2007? And it had been shut down then by probably a year or two by that point.
I mean, well, but they actually killed the service, like, fairly early on.
They started mothballing it. It was like anybody, you couldn't sign up for a new connection
So,
to Telenet for many years. You're right.
88, 89. Yeah, they weren't really adding on any more users. Like, I remember Genie, and Genie was on TimeNet. And Genie actually had, or TimeNet had their own version of a PC pursuit called StarNet. And same thing, thing about Telenet and TimeNet. I mean, there's roughly the same cost, but PC, well, when PC pursuit started, when Sprint took bought out Telenet. They sort of they saw that and it was like well, you know, these people should be, you know, calling in through direct. They shouldn't be using X25. You know, that's cutting into our profit margin or whatever. Well, so we think, right? they actually started killing off the service. So I know a lot of people that were BBSers that, you know, they were talking to people, you know, all the time, you know, trading between boards to get whatever software and whatnot. And they ended up switching over to Starnet for as long as it lasted. I think it only lasted for maybe about 2 or 3 years afterwards. But so like we're talking early 90s at that point, like 89 through 91 or so. That's when they cut off all that service. So by that time, you know, I think right around that time, around 88, 89, I was starting to want to know more about the internet, or at least NSFnet. And, you know, being in Colorado, Boulder's part of the NSF backbone and so on and so forth. So I was looking for any way I could to get onto that network.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're shifting over to like the next, the next fun thing, really, you know, kind of. Well, the one thing that I always thought was, you know, interesting though to me is that the places like Telenet and TimeNet, those are very commercial spaces where if you look at like NFSnet or ARPANET and what, you know, that was all like educational and stuff like that. So whenever, you know, Telenet, like I could tell you, like the NUAs, I still remember this shit. Like the NUAs for Citicorp, those were outside of the norm. Like those weren't your standard. Like those were 224 NUAs. So, like they had their own basically prefix within Telenet. So which made it kind of great from my standpoint. If I wanted to scan all of Citicorp, I knew exactly where to go, and I wouldn't run into anything else but Citicorp machines.
It's actually really interesting when you don't necessarily know what's all in there because they just never advertise. But, you know, like if you're working at McDonald's, I remember there was a time when, you know, as part of the closing out, you know, you worked there, you know, when you're working there, you're sometimes closing the store. Mm-hmm. McDonald's had, you know, was using Telenet to, you know, send all their numbers and you know, all their books and how much they took in, how many burger patties that they burned up and waste and all that stuff, sent to the mothership in wherever in Illinois. But that was, you know, they would use a modem, you hear dial up and you know, you hang around, you kind of snoop around the office a little bit, you know, rubberneck around the computer terminal, and yeah, it's using Telenet. I remember thinking the same. I think Western Union now, I think they had their own network.
No, they had their own X25. I remember, I did not know that at the time, but I remember in some of the WLDSCOT research that we used to do in the 2000s about X25 networks. You know, because we kind of knew that they were dying. So remember, you know, there was like kind of like that runaround where we were trying to connect to every X25 network we could get our hands on just because we knew. Cool. Yeah. it was a lot of fun. But Western Union had its own X25 network, which I believe probably had its own DNIC and its own thing. No, you're 100% right. But I mean, so it's like, let's go back just like a little bit to like the PC Pursuit days. So what was your gear? Like what was your hacking deck? What did it look like?
You know, my hacking deck, that could actually really kind of suck because, like I said, I was using Ataris and Commodores. It wasn't, not even in the Amiga age was I using any real software. So I would have to either write it myself, code it, either do some kind of scripting or whatever to work.
That didn't suck. I mean, actually, that's kind of cool in a way. I mean, to me, because one thing, like, I couldn't afford Amiga, you know, so I had a Commodore 64. So I wrote my own war dialer, you
Right.
know, very early on. And then a little bit later, I wrote my first DNIC scanner, oh, excuse me, DNIC, NUA scanner for Telenet, and I barely knew what the hell I was doing. So, no, I don't think that's that. I think it's actually kind of cool.
Well, kind of, sort of. I mean, the thing is, with the at the time, I thought that doing serial or doing modem programming for the Commodore was just was
awful.
Awful. Yeah, it was painful.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, peek and poke on a fucking modem. It was terrible.
Yeah.
I had a 1660 Commodore modem. And yeah, you had to do like these certain peaks and certain pokes. I don't remember, but it didn't use a Hayes AT command set. It was a huge pain in the ass.
Right.
But,
well, yeah, it depends on what modem you got, but yeah. The Volks modem and the 64 modem and all that shit. Yeah, you were peeking and poking, and yeah, you
right.
Can...
I think that the 1660 actually had like an AT command set, but I had a 1670 had an AT command set. The 1660 that I had was, yep. Yeah, it was just all peaks and pokes, man. And it was a huge pain in the ass. Like,
I wasn't scanning much at all with that. If anything, I was just using it as a dialer, just a straight up dialer, and using the TimeNet or Telenet to dial in for my you know, the code's good and it goes onto the list.
Right.
And the only program that I really know of that was a really efficient NUA scanner was written for the PC. So
like Dr. Dissector's NUA scanner or NUA buster. It was like, no, NUAA. I think it was the NUA attacker or something like that. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well then, okay. So it's now.
Well, so yeah, was it 2008? We did the talk. We were starting to scan around 2005 and, or maybe about 2006, 7. Because we were
building
all that information, and I was just going crazy with the internet, at least just searching, because we knew that we have the ITU puts out a listing of all the X25 DNICs, so you have your list of DNICs from the ITU, and so you're trying to figure out, okay, well, in this country there's this network. Now let's see, let's research, look up on the internet and, doing Google Translate and trying to find out what would be their dial-in number. And that's where, that's where we started looking into INET in India or DATEX-P and, trying to figure out, you start learning, okay, well, a lot of these places, they had special in-dial numbers. That were like 5-digit.
Right. How do you dial that from, say, the United States?
From out of state. Yeah. So you would have to really just kind of monkey around until you can find a number. And you just keep on digging. That sort of thing about the Google search engine is it may have it in there, but it may not. It's not going to tell it to you right away sometimes. Unless there's a really high demand for it.
Right.
So you just have to keep on slicing layer after layer until you find what you're looking for.
Well, and what I thought was kind of fun is you actually did find a lot of like really interesting networks that
I think it's still around.
I was just going to add, well, that was another question I was going to get back to you about. I mean, if we go back and we look, I mean, what was, I remember the, what was the Russian one? Was that Rosnet or something like that?
That was, it was Rosnet. It had a SprintNet.
Yeah, it was a SprintNet. It was like a Telenet kind of prompt. I remember that.
Oh, who was it? It was on the tip of my tongue. Alcatel, or Alcatel.
Was that the name of the
Alcatel?
Was that the name of the network over in Russia?
Well, I think that's the Western company that ran the network. But yeah, it was Rosnet.
Yeah, and that one was like a fairly interesting one because it was. I remember even as late as it was like 2005-ish calling into it. And I think you found it. Oh, I know you did. I certainly didn't. And I would call into it. And I was like, God, this is exactly like Telenet. And then I would start scanning it, and I would find all this crazy weird shit again. And then I'd be like, oh, man, this is like being 16 again. Like, this is weird.
I mean, but at least your scanners would work.
No, exactly, exactly. Well, that's a good point. I mean, yeah, a lot of times you'd write scanners that were built for the network that you were targeting. So if you're targeting TimeNet, you build it one way. For for Telenet, you'd build it another way. But I mean, you were successful. And I remember doing that exactly as you said, going through like the DNIC list and saying, okay, Japan has this network and they have this is the DNIC, but does this thing still exist? Or did it really ever exist in the first place? That would always be like something that crossed my mind. Like I would look at like say Japan and be like, there were 15, X25 network providers. Really? Were there? other than like some research facilities who barely had a network going,
Well, I mean, we ended up calling around through just about every major Western, anywhere from second world to first world to second world country looking for dial-ups.
No, exactly.
And sometimes we'd hit it, sometimes not. Iran, we didn't.
Right.
And that's just because for whatever reasons. We just couldn't reach him.
Well, it could have been like, as you pointed out, it could have been a LATA thing where, it could have been like a more of a local call thing. Cause I remember like India being like, I don't know even how you found that number to connect to India, but if you read the documentation, it was like, oh, if you want to connect to it, you just dial, 310 or whatever it was. On your local telephone, but it's like, well, we're not local, so how the fuck are we going to connect this?
So in India, the BSNL, whatever their telephone utility is, their major telephone corporation, they put all of their directory assistance or their yellow pages, white pages online, and it's all in different. Prefixes or prefectures or counties or however you want to call them.
Right.
I went from, like one place and just to see what their INET, start looking for INET and, you can quickly go through a region saying, no, I don't see one here. Let's go jump over to here. And thinking, once I got away from like Goa and New Delhi and stuff like that. I think I found one like in fucking Kathmandu or some shit like that.
Remember you? I think you showed me briefly how you found it, and it was like through some sort of weird search engine, and it was like an Indian like directory search engine thing that you found, right?
A BNSL directory systems.
Mm-hmm.
So it just eventually found it, and it's like, okay, well, that's enough numbers. Let's give it a try.
Right.
And the benefit of having long distance being so cheap now,
right,
versus 20 years ago, you can actually call to these places.
Right. And well, and the thing there is too, like I was able to. It was kind of fun doing that project because I was able to dial into places because calls are so cheap. And we talked about we didn't really do a lot of cross DNIC stuff, but now the calls are so cheap for me to call to France and dial into Transpac suddenly wasn't a big deal. or, you know, DataPack in Canada, or the iNet one in India was always a pain in the ass because while you could, the carrier, it just sucked. It, you know, I'd even like 300 baud. It was just shit, that connection.
Quality lines in India. I mean, and most, and you know, I kind of accept that because, you know, most people in India, I mean, unless you already have a landline installed, you're probably going to get, your first phone's probably going to be a cell phone.
No, that's true. That's true. Actually, that's a good point. You know, that's actually a really good point. So do you think, you know, I've been watching, there was news about the last, I believe it was TimeNet node being shut down about 6 months ago and whatnot. I wonder how much is still out there. You know what I mean? Like that is. I mean, I'm not talking about radio where it's AX25, which is like a subsidiary. I'm talking about like traditional companies using X25.
If companies haven't, you know, just speaking from my experience with it as in my professional life, I think if companies aren't switching over from X25 or doing some kind of XOT conversion, which would be like the bare minimum. Because, you know, no one really is putting tons and tons of money into buying big, you know, mini computers, mainframes, and stuff like that anymore. That's what X25 was more akin to that, because it's from that same era of computing. I think nowadays, more people, you know, I see MPLS, if anything, being the new packet switch. Mm-hmm. Now, and MPLS is just a completely different beast from IP altogether, anyways.
Right.
Because it's sort of like that layer two packet switching over. Over an already digital packet switch network. It's that, you know, triple encapsulation on Entendre.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, so do you have any memories, any stories from X25 networks that you remember, like anything weird, funny that you ran into? And if not, that's cool too. Or you can tell me later.
I know I do, but I just can't bring it all, form it all together into a cohesive story.
No, I understand.
I will say that recently I've heard that, there's actually still a huge demand for fax machines, especially it hasn't actually died out. There's actually demand for fax machines. Well, which makes me wonder.
A, there's a demand for fax machines is surprising, and B, that X20, well, they're piggybacking the fax machine communications over X25.
Well, not necessarily X25, but over remote.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Now you know what I actually plan on doing. So this one is about X25. The next one's going to be about war dialing. I probably should switch that around. Now, the war dialing one, I will be calling you again, by the way. I figured you probably knew that already.
Oh, yeah.
But, here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop the recording here real quick. So we can talk about your new rig.
What rig? I'm still trying to sort out my shit so I can actually...